This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, you could tell it's ready to go, right? Because you'll be doing you'll be doing that. Just the way it works. You got to play it loud and strong. Yeah, see, I would roll with this. Metallica is going to be in concert on June 3rd, and I'm a big Metallica fan, and I thought about Metallica, I thought about AC/DC, and I went with this song. It's a group called Disturbed. It's a great song, actually. It's Down With the Sickness. It's actually a great song. You should Google it and watch it. It's actually got kind of a nice little melody in it. I know you wouldn't think so. What is that, death rock? Yeah, but it's good death rock. It's good. It's not death rock. It's heavy metal. Welcome to the program. John Fricke in for Andy and Randy today. I'd be in for Steakhouse for another hour, right? Bo Johnson's back at the studio. This will be like the last hour of Steakhouse, correct?
Last and half of the Steakhouse and the entire midday show with Andy and Randy. That is correct.
Ah, okay. So do I have to like do like food stuff?
We can do, you know, food stuff, sure. I mean, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so people like food stuff, I think.
Okay, well, that's true. I guess we can get into that a little bit. Yeah, okay. That's all. That's the tie-in. Well, as you know, if you listen to John Fricke at the Northern Kia Studios today, for the next 4 hours, just me and Bo and you. If you know how the show works, you are not a caller. You are a guest of mine. If you do call into the program and you go, man, because the wait's a long time to get on the air. Yes, sometimes it can be long, but I guarantee you that when we get into all of your calls and your discussions here, that if you stay on, you will get on. I mean, if you want to do a drive-by, you can. Hey, I have one last night. A guy named Johnson came in and said, blah, 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 bye. I'm going to hang up and listen. Okay, fine. I mean, it's not really what I want. I want to have a conversation with you. This is conversational radio. And you'll know you have a really good call going if I start to ask you questions, okay? Because you're, again, a guest, not a caller. But we'll get into all of that. First, we'll do some headlines, kind of get into the program today. So, Bo, I left the Northern Kia Studios and went downstairs to get some water for the show. It's radio. Just think of water. To get some water, and I stepped outside. Now, since I'm inside, I'm just wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and this is like, I don't know, about 7 o'clock this morning. And I stepped outside, and it was like, oh, okay. Better go, probably a little underdressed. Then I just went back outside here before the show to go feed my birds. I know. I know. And it's actually a nice day, beautiful day. I could be playing golf today. No question. I mean, it's nice out. Sun's warm. Yeah. You know the only problem with having a home studio, Bo?
I can't actually think
around
of
the
any.
Well, I'll give you one. Around the holidays right now, right? I've got a flurry of activity. I got people. I've got a cat. I've got, you know, if the moment I leave the studio, I am surrounded by people cooking and laughing and playing. It's like, okay. And then my beautiful bride says things like, you know, hey, can you take the trash out? I'm like, I'm prepping for the show. Take the trash out. What are we doing here? Get the daughter to do that, you know? No, I look, it's all good. It's it is fine. But you know, she has to do all the duty here. I mean, I get it. You know, she has to pick up all the slack when I'm on the air here. College football playoff reacts from yesterday. Again, this playoff poll is, you know, it's fungible. I know that's a big word for you Swampers. It's going to be changing. Okay. But Georgia's in. I've been trying to explain this to all you Georgia fans. Look, if you beat Georgia Tech on Friday night, okay. If you do win the game, oh, it's a lock to win the game. Yeah, Alabama was a lock against Oklahoma. A&M was a lock, right, against Auburn. Ole Miss was a lock against Florida. There are no locks, okay? There's no locks. But, okay, if you want to think it's a lock, that's fine. If you beat Georgia Tech on Friday night, you're in, okay? You're in. It doesn't matter what happens in the SEC title game. You're in. You're in. You can lose the SEC title game. Doesn't matter. You're in. And so don't worry about it. Beat Tech. This is why the focus has to be on Tech. Because should you lose that game, and we know what happens because all these upsets happen because it's the nature of college football now. Should Georgia Tech come in there and Aaron Filo happens and Carson Beck happens and you're sitting around in the fourth quarter going, oh, my God, dogs, what the hell are you doing? If you lose that game, then you go to the SEC title game and you have to win. Because if you lose to Tech, Georgia, and you go to the SEC title game, and you lose that thing to Texas or, God forbid, Texas A&M, you're out, okay? It's not like you're going to be dropping out of the – no, you will be O-U-T, out. Four losses, you're done. Out. So, yeah, that's how critical the Georgia Tech game is. The Georgia Tech game becomes critical because it puts Georgia in and it allows Georgia to play the SEC title game, trying to win it to get a bye. That's all, you know? Not trying to win it to save the fact that you don't want to go to the ReliaQuest Bowl, okay? We got Hawks tonight against Cleveland. Our coverage starts at 6:30 tonight. Back-to-back games against Cleveland. Just what the Hawks needed right now. Back-to-back games against Cleveland. Yeah, you lost three in a row. You ain't playing no defense. Yeah, let's just play the team that's 17-1 on the year back-to-back. How about that? So you got the game tonight, and, of course, State Farm on Friday. You can still go to the State Farm game, 2 o'clock coverage on Friday. It's an afternoon game. Get onto Hawks.com/tickets, and you can go partake in that. While you've been watching all the football, and that's obviously going to be where we go today, going to be football-heavy throughout the show today, I don't know if you bothered to notice that college basketball has started, and boy, has it started. It started like football. I mean, there's a lot going on. Kansas beat Duke last night at the buzzer. UConn went out to Maui and lost back-to-back games, and their coach, is livid, Dan Hurley. UConn became the first number two ranked team in college basketball history to lose back-to-back games on consecutive nights to unranked teams. They lost to Colorado. So, and that's going on. Then you've got, Kennesaw State, Ace Bailey, star, you know, top two high school player in the nation, said, I'll go to Rutgers, but you got to play a game back in Georgia. So they scheduled Kennesaw State. And he said, ha, I got to go back home in front of my people and show, oh, you lost. You lost. And by the way, Rutgers is still pretty good because Rutgers turned around last night and Rutgers beat Notre Dame. I mean, Rutgers is going to be a good team. Kennesaw State's going to be a good team, it looks like. So they're 5-1, probably this close to being 6-0. So it looks like KSU could be a team that you could keep your eye on this year. And it would be about time, by the way, for Georgia college basketball to actually get good. I mean, really, if you stop and think about it, what's been the best, two best programs in the state of Georgia in college basketball, say, over the last, 8 years? Well, it's been Georgia State and Kennesaw State. Yeah, there's no argument that it's been those two. You know, it's time for Damon Stoudemire to make it happen at Tech. It's time for it to happen in Athens. I mean, it's like, come on, guys, get with the program. Everybody else seems to be okay. I mean, Alabama, you know, they kind of like went to number one. You look at what Auburn did. Auburn had a huge win. Auburn just took them down yesterday, right? And so Auburn went out there, and they're in the, I think, the finals of the Maui tournament. So, yeah, you know, come on. You got to get with the program. Tennessee's had a great program, right? Okay. Just saying. But college basketball's off to a flying start across the nation. You got the battle for Atlantis, where you got a ton of big teams. You know, the Arizonas and Connecticut's and Indiana's, and then a whole bunch of Louisville's down there. And that starts today. That's a really good tournament. So there's a lot of really good college basketball going on. But the problem for college basketball is the oxygen is being sucked out of the room by college football. It's actually a little problem for the NFL, because what I thought might happen has taken place. I said a number of years ago to a person that no longer works at 92.9 The Game, tried to convince him. I said, look, college football is going to go from a 4 to a 12 team playoff. He was like on the air saying to me, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, no, they're going to go to the SEC wants to go to 12, they're going to 12. The SEC doesn't just get what they want. I went, yeah, actually they do. The SEC and the Big Ten run college football. No, they don't. I'm like, okay. I hope he realizes now that it was pretty obvious that they did then and they do now. So the SEC and the Big Ten want to go to 14, and that'll happen a couple of years from now. But they wanted to go to 12. And so once we hit this whole new kind of thing with the NIL and the portal, I started to see what Nick Saban saw. And then I said, well, now when you add in the 12-team playoff, we're going to have NFL-style parity hit college football. And at the beginning of this year, I was trying to talk some Georgia fans down of, you know, you're not going to go 15-16-0. I said, you're going to have some, you know, with this schedule that you're up against, Dawning, you're probably going to lose a couple of games. No, we're not going to lose a couple of games. Okay. As it turns out, of course, they've lost a couple of games. That's just the nature of the game now. I try to explain to them, look, if you are a SEC or Big Ten team, you have to wrap your brain around the fact that 10-2 is a really good season. 10-2 gets you into the playoffs. It might get you a home game. 10-2 might get you into the conference title game with a chance to get a bye, okay? So wrap your heads around 10-2 being a good year. You don't have to go 12-0 anymore. If you go 12-0, great, but 10-2 is a really good year. And this is why if Georgia wins Friday night, guess what they're going to be? 10-2. That's a really good year. Whether you think it's a down year by Georgia standards or not, it's a good year by the new standards, all right? The new standards of college football. Because this is what we are looking at. This week, starting tomorrow on Thursday night, going Friday into Saturday, there are 18 games. 18 games. 18 that determine who gets to play in a conference title game and who makes the playoffs and doesn't make the playoffs. 18 games that will impact the 12-team playoff. The buys, the home games, who's getting in. 18 games. This is just fabulous. This is exactly what college football wanted. It's exactly what all the television networks paid for. All of the interest, the scoreboard watching. Oh, my God. You're paying attention to games like Cal and SMU. You're paying attention to games like Arizona, Arizona State. Why? Because it impacts the college football playoff. Everybody wants to know who's going to make it in, who's going to make it out. So a lot to talk about. We'll get into all of that as we work our way through the program. This portion of the program is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com, and you're going to need the Man Cave for all the football Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right? John Fricke in on this Wednesday of Turkey Week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Busy week ahead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. Falcons and Chargers off the bye week on Sunday. Our coverage starts with myself and Joe Patrick with the Wave 4 Tailgate Show. We're going to be outside. It's going to be like 25 degrees. That should be a lot of fun. Broadcasting outside Mercedes-Benz. And, of course, pregame at 11, kick at 1 with Wes and Dave from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Well, it's my pleasure to welcome into the program somebody that I grew up idolizing is probably a tough word, but he was certainly my favorite player, one of the legendary Ring of Honor members of the Atlanta Falcons, number one pick overall in the 1975 draft, which is the exact same time I came in as a Falcons fan, was with Steve Bartkowski at quarterback. And I reached out to Bart this week, and he was kind enough to say he would join us and talk a little NFL football and catch up with Steve Bartkowski. Hey, Bart.
Hey, John, you're too kind with that introduction. I appreciate that very much. Good to be with you.
Well, again, back to number one overall pick, 1975. Before we get into the Falcons this year, I would kind of like to go back just a little bit into your career here, 24,000-plus yards, back-to-back 30-touchdown seasons. I promise I won't dwell on the game in 1980 because I was on the sidelines for not far from you when Drew Pearson. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that. but I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, you basically grow up in California. You become a star at Cal, and then you get drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. I know Atlanta in 1975. You obviously do. Some people who are new to town don't know that Atlanta in 1975 was a different town. When you came to town, was it culture shock for you?
Well, it absolutely was. I came from a West Coast environment in college where, you know, there was rarely was there more than 30,000 people watching us play football on Saturday. Most of them were reading books and sunning rather than coming for the entertainment of the football game. So football, I found out, was something that was very special and very unique in the Southern culture. Of course, Atlanta was a great city. Loved Atlanta. I lived there for 41 years and, you know, did my growing up there, so to speak. I just love the city still. Still have a son that lives there, and we get back occasionally. Still a rabid Falcon fan for sure, but Atlanta is not what it used to be back in the day, as they used to say, and it was pretty special back in the day.
Yeah, you have to explain to people like what it was like before 285 was built.
Yeah. Wait, what? Yeah, and 400 going to Lake Lanier was a two-lane road.
Yeah, with cows and deer and, everything else, right? You played on some great teams, you know, when you were with the Falcons, Steve Bartkowski with us. Bart, you played on some great teams. My favorite team, probably yours, was 1980, and I think you win that game against Dallas, you win the Super Bowl, not to bring up a bad memory. But, you played on some great teams with some great players, some of the greatest in Falcons history, and, of course, Coach Bennett. Do you have a particular moment from back in your time as quarterback at the Falcons that you go back and, boy, man, that was so much fun? Is there a moment or a period that you reflect on as the quarterback of the Falcons that you say, that's it?
Well, I think, John, we actually had a chance to become a premier franchise, after a couple disappointing losses to the Cowboys in playoffs in 78 and then again in 80. I think we had a chance to really turn the corner and become one of those franchises that everybody else points at and says, you know, this is how you do it. Unfortunately, Mr. Blank didn't own the team back then. Had he owned the team, I think he'd have had maybe several Lombardi trophies kind of stashed away in his office. We needed a player or two. And, I did play with a lot of great players, man. I think of the times that I had with those guys in the locker room. And that's the thing that I reminisce about and think about the most, are the relationships that were created there. You're closer than brothers during the season. I mean, you spend more time with your teammates than you really do with your family, unfortunately. But that's kind of the nature of the game. And I had some great, great teammates back then. Guys, like Tommy Novus and Jeff Van Note and Mike Ken and of course, William Andrews and Alfred Jenkins, Alfred Jackson, Wallace Francis. I could go on and on and on. And, just a lot of really great football players. Greg Brazina, Tom Pridemore, Bob Glazebrook. I was blessed to be a part of that. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, we didn't close the deal in 80. And that was the premier chance that we had to get it done, and we let Dallas sneak back in the ball game, and they hit a pass late, and we went home, and they went on and got beat by Philly, and we'd already handled Philadelphia, and I would have had a chance to play against my hero Jim Plunkett in the Super Bowl that year. That would have been pretty special.
Yeah, Steve Barkowski joining us. Yeah, in 1980, you ripped off like 8-9 wins in a row, and late in that season, we were all in town. I was covering the team, obviously, and talking to all you guys, and you were the best team in the NFL. You were peaking at the right time, sort of not unlike 2006.
Yeah.
We won't mention that. Hey, by the way, I have a personal Steve Barkowski. I have a personal affinity for Fulton County because I can still feel it, smell it for football, not just for the Braves. That's a separate thing, but for the Falcons as well. It still has a look, and a feel and a smell to me from all my time down there that I loved. But do you go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and go, man, could I have played here?
I think everybody who walks in there says, wow. That's probably the easiest and best way to describe it. It's pretty special. I'm a big fan of football outdoors, and I think, that was kind of the way it was created to be played. But, I understand it's a game that the fans own now, and you got to make that game day experience something pretty special, and that's why all these new multi-million-dollar, sometimes billion-dollar stadiums, that's why they're going up around the league. So yeah, it's a phenomenal difference between us playing on the infield of the old Braves infield for the first three or four games during the season as they wrapped up, and then that put that sod down, and it was about halfway seated at that point, there were some slipping and sliding going around, and some nasty burns from the getting hit on that infield and sliding and so on and so forth.
Steve Barkowski joining John Fricke on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game, talking a little bit of Falcons. We'll get into the Falcons in just a moment. But reflecting again back on your playing days, football hasn't really changed. I'm in my mid-60s. Obviously, you're, a little bit older than me, not much, but a little bit older. Football hasn't changed during our lifetime, Bart, all that much. It's still blocking. It's still tackling. It's still run the ball, stop the run. Yet at the same time, I'm kind of curious. It's the same game that you played at the NFL level, but as you watch the NFL today, is it also an entirely different game?
Yeah, I think absolutely is, John. I mean, it's the only thing I see that's really familiar is the 11-on-11. I mean, they haven't changed that. It's adaptability. I think back when I played during my career, I mean, if you couldn't run the ball and stop the run, on defense, run the ball on offense and stop the run on defense, or slow it down, you couldn't win in the National Football League. And then all of a sudden, these guys, it just flipped. If you can't throw it and throw it all over the yard, and if you can't slow down the passing game from a defensive perspective, you just can't be successful. It went from, 3,000 yards in a season, being sort of, the pinnacle that everybody wanted to kind of reach, and back in my day, and now it's it's 5,000. You don't throw five for 5,000. you're nobody, you know, at the end of the day. And it's just that part of it's really changed. The guys are bigger, stronger, faster. You know, I've always said it's the most competitive job in the Western Hemisphere, and I stick to those guns. I think it's one of the hardest things to do is make a NFL roster. And, you know, kudos to the guys that get out there and get it done. And, you know, one other thing that's changed is the amount of money these guys are putting in their pocket, you know, from a game check standpoint. So you know, there's a few changes, you know, but it's still football, and it's something that I think everybody loves. You know, it seems to be still the number one sport, the king of all sports, if you will. And, you know, I'm just happy to see the Falcons pointed in the right direction. I like what Raheem's doing. I love Arthur Blank. You know, he and I are good friends. And, man, I just wish he would have had a chance to own that team while I was playing.
All right, so you said you bring it up, Art. Let's talk a little bit about that. Steve Bartkowski's thoughts about this year's Atlanta Falcons team. We just saw them go to Denver and just, I don't know what that was, Steve. It's been a source of a lot of anger and consternation because that team didn't show up in Denver, and we don't know what the last six games are going to hold here. And, you know, Falcons fans have been burned a lot, and so we hold our breath here about the last six games this year. Well, what do you kind of view this team with Kirk Cousins as right now, and where do you think they're headed?
Well, I mean, they're on top of their division. That's really all that matters at the end of the day, is get into that second season, you know, and if you can get in there with a bye, or if you can get in there with the home field advantage, you know, that's kind of what you're playing for now. I mean, you can ask for anything more, I don't think, you know, from a Falcon fan standpoint, than to just have the guys, you know, in the hunt. And, I mean, they are clearly in the hunt. You know, it's been a long time since we've had sort of a critical football game in the city of Atlanta, which I think we have over these next couple weeks. Well, certainly this week against the Chargers, and then, you know, got to go to Minnesota. But, I mean, this is the pivotal point in the season for the guys. I think they all know it. I think the bye week couldn't have come at a better time. Sometimes in the NFL, it just doesn't work. You know, you get out there, it doesn't matter how good your team is. And, you know, it's just the parity is such that, you know, you better bring your A game. If you don't, you're going to get your butt whooped. That's just kind of the way the game is these days, and always has been, really. So, I just think it's exciting to have our team in the hunt. You know, looks like they're pointed in the right direction. I think Kirk is taking care of the football. He's done a great job so far. And you know, I just expect them to go ahead and try to, you know, get in this hunt and close the deal. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
You mentioned, you know, back in your day, you know, some of the great players you played with, you know, on defense, you know, and you can go through the list, obviously. You know, the great linebackers, Brezina, Fulton, Cotton-Ganal, and all the great defensive tackles and whatnot. The great DBs. This team has talent on defense, Bart. They do. They have talent at every level. And yet, for whatever reason, it's not – the big criticism here is that Jimmy Lake, the new defensive coordinator, is not using this personnel correctly and playing a 3-4 in a soft zone. Do you see this? I mean, with a lot of people in Atlanta calling me up on my show, and they will today, saying press coverage blitz. Because this is the great splits. A lot of old-timers haven't forgotten that, right?
Right. Well, I think that's absolutely true. You know, the thing about it is, John, there's only a couple ways to really defend, you know, against the pass. You either got to go get the quarterback and get in his face and stay in his face, and you got to have the personnel to do that with, or you got to have two lockdown corners. Actually, three. The guy in the slot now, everybody's playing three wides, and they better be the best man-to-man cover guys. You need Michael Haynes and you need Lester Hayes back there, you know. And if you can't go get the quarterback and move him around and get him off his spot back there and make him make plays with his feet, which a lot of these quarterbacks can do these days. But, you know, it's the only two ways you can really come up with a way to shut the passing game down. We haven't been able to get to the quarterback. And, you know, I don't know that we've got, you know, Lester Hayes and Michael Haynes out there. You know, I mean, I think AJ is a great corner, you know, but I think that he always kind of, you know, that you just don't have that matching other side, if you will. So I don't know how you play. I mean, if I was Jimmy Lake, I wouldn't know what to do either. You know, I mean, you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. And at the end of the day, the guys have to make plays. You know, they just have to, you have to figure out a way to beat that guy, get to the quarterback, move him off his spot, or just lock down in such a way that, you know, guys come up with plays, you know. And that's the way you go about it. You know, some weeks it works and some weeks it don't work, you know. And I know they've been banged up too defensively, you know, so I don't want to, you know, be too critical. I mean, they got, you know, they got a lot of guys that haven't played a bunch that are out there playing now, you know. And hopefully this bye week we kind of get our legs back under us and get some of these guys that have been nicked up and playing through it, you know, maybe with a kind of a fresh restart. And go strong here for these next six games.
All right, another minute or so with Steve Barkowski, Falcons legend, who's been kind enough to join me on 92.9 The Game today. You got close, Bart. Michael Vick got close. Chris Chandler got close. Matt Ryan got super-duper close. We all know that. Yeah. As Falcons fans, do you see Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins swinging into Michael Penix as a period of time where the Falcons might actually, under Arthur Blank, be able to finally have a parade?
Well, I'll tell you, John, knowing Arthur like I do, I know he's not going to rest until he hoists that Lombardi trophy. And that's where it all starts. I believe in what the decisions they're making. I think Raheem has done a really good job of putting this football team together. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately. You know, I mean, I look at the Detroit Lions, you know, and to see how they've really risen from the dust and now are one of the premier franchises and premier football teams in the National Football League. And I sort of see a pattern there. You know, they've sort of built it around, you know, the coach being a guy who has been around it for a long time, played for a long time, and kind of understands the workaday mentality and getting out there and getting it done. So I'm encouraged. I think we're on the right track. I think if it doesn't happen this year, I don't see any reason why it couldn't happen in the near future.
Steve Barkowski, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time. A very happy Thanksgiving to you, and I'm thrilled that you're doing well. And listen, you're always welcome. You've got my number. You just give me a call. Say, I got something to say. I'll go, okay, you on. Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Well, good being with you, John. And, keep those people rallied up down there. We got a great fan base in Atlanta. And, the real fans need to show up this Sunday and make sure we get it done.
Yeah, Steve Barkowski. Thank you, Steve. Steve Barkowski, of course, legendary quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. This has been brought to you by John Foy. John Foy, of course, is the strong arm. If you need the strong arm, you need John Foy. All right, back in a moment. We'll open up the phone lines, tell you what the topics are. You can react to Steve Barkowski if you want. He's positive. All right, made me feel better. All right, that, if nothing else, he made me feel better. On Sports Radio 92 in the Game. Sports Radio 92 on the Game. John Friggy from the Northern Kia Studios on this Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. Well, tomorrow, right? Turkey Day. Late Thanksgiving this year. A shorter period of time to shop for Christmas, if that's your thing. I'm shopping for Christmas. Not my thing, but I got to do it. You just got to. This hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. You're going to need Bo Johnson and Man Cave for all the college football and all the NFL this weekend, beginning kind of tonight with the first games, but really tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, going to be chock full of NFL football. We got a triple header for you on 92.9 The Game tomorrow. We got all the college football coming up on Friday. There's huge games, obviously, at night with Georgia Tech, and for me with Farmageddon between Nebraska and Iowa, and then all the important games Saturday and all the NFL games with the Falcons and Chargers on Sunday. So if you're a football fan, this is one of the great weeks of the year if you're a football fan. Did we lose Bo?
Oh, no, look, I'm looking. I don't have a whole lot planned on Thanksgiving. I'm actually kind of glad for that.
Okay.
As it's football all day. And Friday, too. Friday's going to be as fun with two great games on. So,
Yeah, no, you see here, because on the station, we have a triple header tomorrow. We have three NFL games back to back to back. I'm going to be on 10 to noon tomorrow, leading you up to our coverage of three straight NFL games. Noon, of course, traditional Detroit Bears and Lions at noon. That's followed by the Giants and the Cowboys. Hang on. It says three NFL games, but we have the Giants and Cowboys. Is Giants Cowboys an NFL game? Is that cool? Okay,
that's what
three
they
NFL
say.
Games. Bears Lions. I guess Giants Cowboys is an NFL game, and then the Dolphins and Packers in Green Bay, where it's going to be cold at night in Green Bay. Have fun, Miami. All right. So that'll be tomorrow with the NFL tripleheader. Of course, we have the Hawks tonight, 6:30 against the Cavaliers. You can't call them the Cadavaliers anymore because they ain't dead. They're very much alive. They're 17-1. Coverage starts at 6:30 tonight. And then Saturday we're going to have the game with Michigan and Ohio State, and of course Falcons on Sunday. So it's going to be busy, busy, busy time on the radio station. At the top of the hour, in just a few minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines, and I'm going to spend 3 hours talking to you. First off, I do want to say, Bo, thank you to you, and thank you to Steve Bartkowski. It was great checking in with Bart. A friend of mine said, "Hey, that was a really fun interview. It's great to hear from Bart again." And then I was like, "Yeah, you know," I've known Bart. I've started interviewing Bart next year. It will be 50 years ago. Oh, my God. Lord help me. Anyway, so I have three questions for you, all revolving around college football. And at the top of the hour, those of you who are not used to how I do a show and how I treat callers, you're not callers, you're guests, I'll walk you through it real quick. I always have to write the phone number down for me at 404-726-0929 just so I don't make a mistake and just go brain dead and give out my home phone number, which I've been known to do. The three questions I have are about college football, and I'm going to ask Bo right now, and then I'm going to ask you. But you are always welcome to weigh in on the Falcons. You can weigh in. Bart was positive. He was on the glass half full thing. You can weigh in on the Hawks. We'll get into that too. There's nothing that's kind of off the table for you to talk about because we got so much going on. You talk about the college football playoffs. I want to hear from a Georgia fan about, you know, how concerned are you? I mean, we could talk about a lot of things here. All right, so let's do the three college football questions, Bo. Bo Johnson, if you're UGA, and I know you're not, but if you're UGA, and this is one of the questions I have for all you Georgia fans, are you happy about making the SEC title game?
Yes, for now. It is kind of losing its luster, though, a little bit. And if you look at it, you win the SEC title game, sure, you get a bye, but you're facing a harder opponent in the SEC title game than you would have if you were just a higher-ranked team having to face off in week one. So as long as you get through it, sure. But there are some questions revolved around, you know, whether this game does actually even mean anything anymore.
So the one reason I think I would answer yes is protection against losing to Georgia Tech. I know you, again, I get, we're not going to lose to Georgia Tech. Okay, I get that. But upsets have happened this year. Have you not paid attention? I mean, it's not like Georgia Tech hasn't beaten Georgia in the past when they had no right to beat Georgia, right? Do I have to remind you of Paul Johnson? Do I have to really go back there? It's protection against that because, again, Georgia beats Georgia Tech. They're in. If they lose to Georgia Tech, now they have to win the SEC championship game because if they don't, they're out. College football playoffs, I said that college football is kind of, you know, sucking the oxygen out of the room. Bo, I have a sense that this 12-team playoff, that the NFL is going to look at the college football playoff and go, yeah, I'm not sure how much this works for us because at least in the South and in parts of the Midwest and, you know, huge chunks of the country with, you know, hundreds of millions of people, or tens of millions of people, fans, the college football playoffs over the NFL playoffs. What do you think?
Wow, I think we're probably there. I mean, it's just more exciting. Of course, you have a bigger pool of teams to pull from. You know, you don't have any New York Giants or Dallas Cowboys who are going to squeak their way into the college football playoff. It's all premium teams that we're going to be watching. I mean, there are going to be some bad NFL teams make the playoffs. So I would say, yeah, it probably is more popular.
you know, I think just from a chatter standpoint and a talk standpoint, we go through the conference title games, Selection Sunday. We get into the first round, which will be this year, obviously, is going to be a bit different than in the future because this is so new. And the idea of having four teams, you know, at home in the opening round, I think the NFL is going to look at college football and go, hey, why are they getting all the love? Why are they getting all the attention, all the chatter? You know,
and fans and are also more fans, loyal, right, to their college teams than they are pro teams.
Well, and plus, I think a lot of NFL fans, not us, obviously, because we got to scratch and claw for everything around here in Atlanta, but a lot of NFL fans, like if you're in Philadelphia or stuff, I mean, you're hardcore fans, but it's just about, you know, hey, listen, just wait me when the playoffs start, you know? I mean, so I think college football is going to get a lot in regards to that. And then the third question is, do you like the smack talk that's going on between the Big Ten and the SEC? Because there is a lot of smack talk. So much that some rando went on X and just ignited smack talk between a rando, like not quite me rando, but pretty rando, all right, just posts up and it gets reposted and, oh, man, the smack talk started flying. Oh, man, I love it. All right, your calls are next. You're going to be a guest on my show, 404-726-0929 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.